Scripture reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 24. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1 through verse 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home, marveling at what had happened. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12.
Thank you, Lyle. Appreciate that reading. It's good to see you here. It's great to have a large number with us today. We missed you. We're glad that you're here with us and hope that you're blessed by being here today. What a great day it is after the year we've had. Nobody had any idea what the year would be like. We hope we'll encourage each other in the future as we've been trying to encourage each other over the last year. We've been blessed in this congregation to do many things. We're looking Sunday by Sunday at basic lessons of why we do things. Today we'll look at the very basic of all things, the resurrection of the Lord. But in that context, we'll see in weeks ahead, giving, singing, praying, communion. Why do we do it every week? Why some people don't do it every week? I'm also mindful of many things this congregation has given in the past. As when you were blessed us to go on different mission trips, and we literally were able to purchase a church building in the former Soviet Union. The elders agreed with that. We went and we redid other projects in other places, whether it's fixing the annex or changing the kitchen. Are going to help missions in Central America, South America, other parts in the world. And in that context, that's the past. We must look ahead, and we look forward to next Sunday when Jim Budak and Sean Carlin are added to our deacons. We love you, and we thank you for your giving. We are blessed by God to be alive in this country, as Dan has already mentioned. We are blessed far more than others, and I don't want us to feel guilty. But in that context, we have great opportunities to do things that others cannot do. And here, we look today at the great blessing we have. You may have heard this week, I don't know if you remember him, Ron Clayton, who's worked with the India work and has spoken here a few times, passed from this life recently. And we all one day will pass. If the pandemic has taught us anything, it should teach us that death is real, that we will all pass from this life and one day stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. It is true that Joseph Smith started the Mormon church, but he lived and died and is buried. It is true that Muhammad started the religion of Islam, but he lived, he died, and he's buried. It is true that Charles Russell started the Jehovah's Witnesses, but he lived, He died and is buried. It's true that Buddha, Confucius, and other religious teachers lived and died and are buried. But Jesus Christ came, taught, lived, died, and the Father rose, brought him out of the grave, saying, "This is my Son. This is God in the flesh." That Jesus Christ is alive today. That his difference of all the difference in the world for us today. In an Easter that America needs, and a year of death counts, with many paralyzed by fear of death for them or their loved ones, vulnerability filled our nation. We rejoice, it looks like we were mined by one who conquered the grave. After a year of tension and anger played out on the streets and on the TV, maybe we can sigh a sigh of relief. It's the spirit that gives life, not the flesh. We spend a lot of time looking at taking care of the flesh. But after a bitter election, after gut-wrenching emotions, we can come and kneel before the Lord, who is on the throne and been doing this for thousands of years. He's not surprised by this past year. He's not shocked about the pandemic. There's only four possible things, I think, that explain the pandemic. It's part of this world somehow. Maybe it came from man. Maybe it came from Satan. Have you thought about that? Job chapter 1 and 2. Maybe it came from God. Wherever it came from, we need to pray to the Lord God Almighty to take it away. But another byproduct should be that we prepare to meet our God. A lot of us, perhaps like Ron Clayton, will have many things to do and we've got many plans to take care of, and that'll be our final day. So the question that's really truth for all of us is, are we ready? Knowing that this year has been a year of a crystal clear reminder, we live in a fallen world, and a world that one day we all will die, we go to the cross and we go to the tomb. The bedrock of the Word of God. That it was always the plan of God, even before he created man, to send his Son to die on a cross. Because he knew before he made Adam and Eve that they would sin, and he made them anyway. He knew that as he prepared the world, that they would sin. That God knows what the world looks like. God knows that the world runs on greed, lust, and self-interest. He's not surprised how human beings lived. He knows how they live. And Jesus, there at creation, and there in that context, before he made Adam and Eve, he knew it would cost his Son to pay with his blood for your sins and mine. And he made them anyway. It is a great story of love. It's a great story of sacrifice. It's a great story of victory over death and sin. For of all the things we can talk about Christ, he won the victory over death, and he won the victory over sin. Of all the problems we have, of all the struggles we have, of all the things we have to deal with, sin and death are the number one and number two issues of our lives. And in that context, C.S. Lewis says, the three kinds of people. Those who are totally surrendered to Christ. Those who are partially surrendered. And those who are not surrendered at all. In our first slide, we are reminded that we are so busy. So busy. Have so much things, and we're so blessed to have so many things to do. As we talked about the last few weeks, that we need a time that we have private time, one-on-one with God. What do you want to call it? A quiet time, a private altar, seeking God one-on-one. All of us need to remember the truth. We are busy. We should not be too busy for God. It's the principle we've talked about, reaping and sowing. We want to know the Bible more. We'd like to know the Bible better. It's a principle of reaping and sowing, putting the time in, putting the effort in, and we will reap what we sow. And unless we say, well, I'd like to know the Bible more, but we have no plan to do that, then it's just a wish. We're really not going to learn the Bible more. By reading our Bibles and coming to Bible class and studying and reading other things, our Bible knowledge can grow like a seed grows. It's our choice. In our second slide, we're reminded again to take what we hear and see this morning and check it out. Perhaps you're new, maybe watching online, and what we're saying is new to you, and that's why we're looking at very basic lessons in the days ahead. Well, why don't you have instruments? Well, why do you have the Lord's Supper every week? Why do you talk about baptism? Why? Look at your Bible. Don't take the preacher's word for it or my word for it. Check it out. Run it through your Bible. What does Jesus Christ say who died on a cross? He clearly is going to give his life and his blood to save people from sin. He will clearly communicate how to access that blood, how one gets into Christ and into forgiveness. If God wants us to go to heaven, he will say how to get there. Check it out. Verify it. Our next slide, the Bible is truth. But people have tried to get rid of it. For hundreds of years, and many, many different people have thought that they'll get rid of the Bible. Voltaire boasted, a famous French atheist, well, 100 years from now, you know, the Bible will be extinct. 100 years after Voltaire's life, they use his house to print Bibles. Many have tried to get rid of it. No one has succeeded. It is the bedrock of the ages, the Word of God, that tell us the old, old story today, that Christ, Jesus, became a human being just like us. He lived in a family for 30 years. He was an oldest child. He had a father and mother, and somewhere in that life, at some point, his father died. And so God put his son, his only son, in a family and became an orphan. He did not raise Joseph from the dead. And having brothers and sisters and a mother who was a widow, he understood everyday life, and he saw it in the life of his mother. Is there anyone here who thinks that they didn't make it? That God left them alone, God didn't provide. And here in this context, we're reminded of the truth that God became a man and lived among us. And people have tried to get rid of that story. People have tried to make the Bible illegal. Say, no, you can't do that. I listened to a tape yesterday of Rick Pantuk, who worked in the Ukraine. He talked about how God was working in the Ukraine long before he was born. And a commander of the Russian army barracks called him. He was in Canada at that time. And as the wall fell, if you remember, in November of 1989, the Russian army commander talked to him on the phone in Canada and asked him his Ukrainian name. He said, can you get me 10,000 Bibles? 10,000 Bibles? Give me your phone number. He said, no, I'll get them from somebody else. No, just give me your number. I want to check this out. And he hung up the phone and said, why do these drunks call me at 2 o'clock in the morning? But he checked it out. He said he couldn't sleep the rest of that night. Talked to these people that we know in the church in Europe. And they got 5,000 Bibles, and they sent to the Western Ukraine Bible base, a military base. And there in that military barracks, they had a great banquet prepared for them. And the commander who called him on the phone said, men, these men are here to teach the word of God. And he asked them to speak, and they both spoke. Now, after they're finished speaking, they're going to hand out Bibles to each one of you. He said, I never would have believed it. And if you were there, and I remember well calling Karen into the living room and said, you've got to see this, that the wall came down. Who would have believed it? And who would believe that, and now the Ukrainians and the Russians want the Bible, teach the Bible in their schools. And they said, we thought the Bible was bad. We know the Bible is good for the home, good for people, and we want our nation to last. And so we want our school teacher. They're asking us for Bibles for their schools and Bibles for their libraries. It's time for us to think about our country and be the light, the salt, and the leaven. Because the future is unknown. Just like I didn't even imagine that the wall would come down. I don't know what the future holds, but God is on the throne. In our next slide of this year of pandemic, we need to remember the one who knows the stars by name. We can't even count them. He knows their names. He has known every one of you through this entire year of difficulty and pain and struggle. Think about God, not the pandemic. Think about the power of God to create the beauty of earth that you see today. That he has the power to speak and the world comes into existence. And now he not only has the power to create it, he has the power to sustain it. As Colossians says, that everything was made by Christ and everything was made through Christ. And right now everything holds together through Christ. That's real power. In that context, he is our creator. Our fifth slide this morning reminds us that Jesus Christ is the greatest friend you and I could ever have. He lived for us. He died for me. He rose for me. He intercedes for me. He's coming back for me. And if you were the only person that there were on the face of the earth, he would die for your sins because he loves you. Because he knows we have a sin and a death problem, and he came to conquer it and to win. In our next slide, we see the truth. That Jesus was involved in creation. And imagine the angels watching over his shoulders as he makes Israel. He makes a little hill outside of Jerusalem. What are you doing? Well, this is a very important hill right here. Well, what's going to happen there? Well, that's where I'm going to die. What? Yeah. And he makes that hill very carefully. And then he makes a group of trees. Well, why are you spending so much time on these trees? Because one of these trees is going to be cut down, and they're going to make it into a cross, and they're going to put me on that cross. When God created the world, he understood where it would go. He understood that it would be on this hill, and he understood that with this cross, that he would go to his death. He came on what we call a mission trip, but he came to die for your sins and for mine, full aware of what was going to take place. Our next slide reminds us that the truth, that sometimes we get offended and hurt by religious people. It was religious people, who were religious leaders, who put Jesus to death. It was the religious faithful who thought they were getting rid of him, thought, we're going to lose our power, we're going to lose our strength, we just need to get rid of this Jesus. Now, somebody said it this way, sin makes you stupid. Because here's Jesus healing the sick and healing the blind, raising Lazarus from the dead, and they think they can kill him and get rid of him. It doesn't work. It didn't work for them either. But that's what they were trying to do. They're trying to push the will of man, and let's just get rid of this so-called Messiah. And in that context, we're all broken. And the only way we can be put back together is with Christ, by God's plan. A lot of people look for life in the wrong places, but only Christ can put us back together. Only by grace can we make it in this life and the next. And our next slide reminds us that Isaiah, 700 years before it happened, prophesied that Christ would go to a cross for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement that brings us peace was placed upon him. This was God's plan to have someone else pay for your sins and mine. For us to pay for our sins, we would have to go to hell, and we deserve that. God did not want that. God wants us to live with him forever, as we saw in class. And so God prophesied 700 years before it happened that Jesus would die on a cross for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his scourging, we are healed. And our next slide reminds us the truth as we talk about Black Friday. There's only one good Black Friday. And that it really was a bad day, but we know what it means. And so that makes it a good day for us. But it cost Christ his life. In this year of the pandemic, you've seen, perhaps even up close and personal, death. Maybe the death of a loved one. You can see how horrible death is and how nobody wants to die, but Jesus willingly surrendered to death. Why? Because they overpowered him? No. Why? Because he had no choice? No. They came to arrest him and he put the ear back on Malchus. He didn't lose his power. He willingly laid down his life for us. There in that context, Jesus told them three times, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to rise the third day from the dead. They were shocked when it happened. I talked to the lovely and gracious Miss Karen this morning. I've told you before, and I told you about this incident where a preacher in England, trying to get the shock of the resurrection, came to the pulpit that morning on Easter Sunday and shaved in the pulpit. Said, Karen, I'm thinking about shaving my beard. And she goes, no, that'd be a mess if you do that up there. Good advice. But what happened, this preacher was trying to get them to see that this event was shocking, that they talked about it all week. Did you see what the preacher did? He shaved it in the pulpit. And they were surprised. That's not what they expected when they came to church that day. And this is exactly what happened as they came to the tomb expecting to see a dead body. They came to help prepare the body a little bit more. They were trying to prepare the body, but the Sabbath came, and they had to stop. And now they're just coming back to finish the work, and he's gone. We have different gospel accounts where one of the ladies thinks it's a gardener, and And he said, "Sir, tell us where you've laid him." And then he speaks to her in the way that he probably had spoken to her many times, Mary, and she knew immediately, Rabboni, which means teacher. I wonder how many times he had called her name. And so when he said those words, she knew immediately it was the Lord, that he has risen from the dead. She's excited. She grabs him. And in the Greek, it literally says, and I think she's got a death grip on him. I've lost you once. I'm not going to lose you again. He literally says, don't hold on to me so hard. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Trying to get her to see, it's okay. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere yet. I will, but not yet. And there in that context, Jesus was alive. It was a shock. Our next slide reminds us that truth. That they didn't expect Jesus to rise from the dead, although he told them. And it's easy to look back and say, well, why didn't they get it? I mean, we got it. No, they were living it day by day. They had not read the book or seen the movie. But his death proves that Jesus was a man. But his resurrection proves that he's God. If you're looking at Jesus and trying to figure out who he is, you like him as a teacher, and he does these great things. It's the miracles that show he's more than a man. But when they laid Jesus in the tomb, he didn't bring himself out of the grave. The Father raised him from the dead, showing that this is my Son. It was God's statement on who Jesus is. And who Jesus is the cornerstone of history and the decision of what we will do with him. For many religious teachers have lived and died and are buried. But Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose from the dead. And they were shocked. Our next slide again reminds us what I've said a minute ago. They didn't overcome him. They didn't overpower him. They didn't outnumber him. He served Malchus, who Peter cut the ear off. They arrest him. He had washed Judas's feet. Judas, who betrayed him. He loved the world who crucified him and spit in his face. Because this is the divine God showing us how bad we are and yet how much he loves us. He knows how the world is. But he went to a cross willingly. And the next slide reminds us of the truth. That they couldn't keep him in the grave. You know, lockdowns didn't work for the Romans or the Jewish leaders. The power of God is greater than the plan of man to stop him from rising from the dead. They couldn't do it. God is greater than man's plans. Our next slide reminds us also what all this is about. The truth that God wants us to live with him forever. And our next slide again. Here is really the message. Of all the things you need, you and I need the most is love. This is divine love. Providing needs that we can't take care of ourselves. That without his sacrifice, we deserve to go to hell. And he didn't want that. So here he is pouring out his life to save us from sin and from death. That Jesus Christ loves us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us right where we are. That he wants us to follow him. He'll clean us up of our sin and give us a direction to walk. And give us the cleansing to help us to be more than we were before we came to him. And the point is to live with him forever. Why? Because sinners like you and I can't go to heaven by ourselves. Without the help and the power and the sacrifice of God to make us like him. We can't make ourselves like God. We can't clean our own sins. We can't even pay for one, let alone all of our sins. But God can. This is the plan of God, to live with him forever. And the point of that is to live after this world with God and each other. We studied in class about walking by faith, and we just got to the point of talking about heaven. Can you imagine the first minute when you get to heaven? This next picture is a painting called the first moment in heaven. These are true things that people who've died are no longer gone but alive in the next world, and God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And right now, today, they are alive just as Jesus Christ is alive at the right hand of the throne of God. And this picture shows the future of what can and will be for those who are ready to meet the Lord. The first moment in heaven can be greater than anything you can imagine. These are real things, just as real as Christ came out of the grave. If you could sell a product, I'd want to sell the product that could stop those calls about the car warranty. I'd make a million. Everybody would want it. Everybody would stand in line to buy it. If you could sell a product that would stop the calls, you know, I could fix your computer for $500 if you just sign up with me. You know, your computer's sending me missing. That's how businesses work. We have a need, and they fill it, and they make a profit as they fulfill our needs. This is deeper than someone getting you off the warranty list. Here we are this morning. What I'm saying to you are spiritual truths. That we have deep needs as human beings, and we need a Savior. We need cleansing. We need one who can not only forgive us of our past sins, but cleanse us of every sin every day until we die from this world. We have someone that we need who can bring us out of the grave, for we can't even stop our life from dying, let alone bringing us out back to life. But this is what God is willing to do. Jesus Christ has shown us spiritual truth. These are His ideas, not mine. His ideas of one who comes to Him and is baptized into Him, brought into union with His death, burial, and resurrection, by the power of the resurrection, comes out of that water, and all of His past sins are forgiven, a new creation. It's the same power that will rise us from the grave physically. Have you given thought to being seriously to being baptized? We've talked before. Maybe your kid's 4, 5, so I'll be baptized. No. It takes your faith. If I had children, they were 4, I could take them and baptize them, but that wouldn't work. They would have to have their own faith. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. We're in the middle of a series of very basic things. You might rejoice to hear the mission work of this church in Central America and China and Panama, somewhere else, and hear and see of other people coming to the Lord, of the great truth of people turning their lives from sin and coming to the Lord. But this morning, on this Easter morning, the central truth is that you will live forever somewhere. I will live forever. It's hard to wrap our heads around that. I mean, I like you and you like me, but that's not the truth we're talking about this morning. We're talking about how one gets to live with God forever. And God sets those conditions, not man. The resurrection is the Father's statement of who Jesus is. It is the key needs that we have, sin and death. Have you done anything about those? You know, we put things off. Maybe you heard that they pushed back the tax deadline a month. The eternity deadline is not going to be like the tax deadline. The eternity deadline is not, okay, we're going to announce on such and such a day that's the end of the world. That's not going to work that way. Jesus said it'll be just a normal day. The news will be blaring of how bad things are. Maybe you're on your way to work, stuck on the 101 in a parking lot, and it's all over. And the only thing we can do is to prepare now. The only thing we can do is prepare while we're alive. The greatest thing you can do is take advantage of God's offer of salvation, because you and I will live forever. Again, it's hard to wrap your mind around it, but it's spiritual truth. And so now is the only logical time to get ready. I can't read your heart, but God knows your heart. He is alive, and He is real. We love you. We appreciate you. If there's anything we could do to help you get ready, maybe you just need to talk. Maybe you're not sure what you need to do. Maybe you have some questions about this. We'll be glad to study with you. Several people here will be glad to help you. There's a public response you need to make this morning. Why don't you?